Welcome to the Sarah Centrella Show. Join best-selling author, master life coach, and manifesting expert Sarah Centrella as she shares tips, tools, and inspiring interviews to help you create your dream life. It's time to hustle and thrive. Now, here's your host, Sarah Centrella.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Sarah Centrella Show, and we are just going to jump right on into it. I cannot wait for this conversation, honestly. Stephen and I met, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or so, on our first kind of like intro call. And it was one of those moments. I think it's rare a lot of times in our space to connect with someone that you like have a genuine connection with. And you're like, man, I want to know more about this person. I want to hang out with them in real life. And, that was really how I felt, even though I was sick as a dog and half in, half out, I was like, can't wait for our actual call. So, welcome to the show, Stephen. I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here. And when we felt the exact same way.
Oh, good. Thank God.
Oh, yay. We met other people like us. Yay.
I know. I'm like, it's not just me. And I mean, there's so much exciting stuff going on in your world, and we're going to get to all of that. But one of the things that we briefly chatted about on our call was a little bit of your backstory. So I was sharing a little bit of mine, and we were both like, oh, wait a second. We both have these crazy backstories.
Yeah, and right.
On the show, I always love to start off with that just because I think there's a big misconception that everyone is successful and everyone is killing it and everyone's making trillions of dollars. And we forget that there is a backstory. We all started somewhere. We all felt like, oh my God, I'm never going to make it. And yours is really, really incredible. So can you take us back to kind of where your journey began and kind of what some of that adversity has been?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's interesting because one of the things that I feel like is super important nowadays is for people to stop celebrating all the success and really start celebrating a lot of the sacrifice. Because the sacrifice is what builds the character. It builds the momentum. It builds the, you know, it builds the wisdom. It builds the experience. Like that's where all the good stuff comes from. Right. You know, and one of the things that I've been really passionate about is like, especially when I'm teaching entrepreneurs or other thought leaders and whatnot, I'm like, you got to understand the story matters. And it matters because without the story, you don't exist. You know? Yeah. So, you know, for me, I grew up in a broken home. I would love to say that, you know, it's somehow special, but nowadays there's lots of broken homes. And I think the one saving grace was my parents knew that they weren't ready to be great parents, which kind of led me to being raised by largely my grandmother for a while. And, you know, at 9 years old, she comes to me and she's, you know, kind of talking about, you know, I'm sick. Later found out that was a diagnosis of cancer. She told me I need to step up. You know, it's funny. Chastity and I, she has a middle son and he's 10 years old. And I'm talking to him a lot of times, yeah. I'm thinking to myself, at 9 years old, my grandmother was coming to me and asking me to step up as quote unquote, the head of the house.
Right.
Can you even imagine? That entailed was me pulling a black kitchen chair from the table over to the stove, the old tan stove from like the 70s. She was telling me how to boil water to make this out of the other thing, macaroni and cheese, hot dogs, you know, feed myself, my little brother. I was literally her crutch, you know, cause I was small enough even then to kind of like, you know, help her get around the house. You know, I helped bathe her a little bit here or there. I mean, it was crazy to think
how much you're taking on at that age. That's insane.
Yeah. Well, here's the unwinding of that. Over the last three decades, you know, you start to pull these things apart and you're like, this is why I tend to jump in and want to be the savior or save people or any number of real reasons to that. And a lot of times that isn't healthy, you know, but it all comes from that subconscious unwinding. Right. So fast forward, she passes away. Unfortunately, I go to live with my dad. My little brother goes to live with my mother in Florida. Jump right into the construction industry. 11 years old, carrying studs out in the hot sun. Literally, I think he picked me up on a Thursday evening and I hadn't been checked into school yet. So I went to work on Friday morning.
Oh my gosh. 11 years old.
Yep. You know, and that kind of began the journey of me getting to one day meet my first mentor, a guy that ultimately changed my life, which we'll jump into in a little bit. But his name was Steve Meyer. He's my dad's employer. And I always kind of remember the story where like, your name's Steve and my name's Steve. So we're both, you know, like instant connection, right? I worked through high school, middle school, you know, you name it, I was on the construction site. And around my junior year, my father had gotten himself in trouble in business. He lost his business as a result. You know, we were foreclosed on, bankruptcy, cars repossessed, all this kind of stuff. And by the time I got through the three quarters of the way through my junior year, actually towards the tail end of my junior year, I made the decision, because I was held back in the fifth grade, it's how the age thing works out, but to literally drop out of high school and start paying the bills. Now, what's important to know is, you know, my dad had already sold my car. You know, he'd already come to me, can I sell my car, to try to make the last ditch effort for a mortgage payment. My 69 Mustang. Oh, well. Primer gray. It wasn't like it was fully rebuilt, but you know, we had a lot of challenges financially. My dad was never really good with money. As you start to pull these things together, you start seeing semblances of lack of identity, lack of security, lack of authenticity, right. This desire to want to live for someone else, right? So whatever life you think I should live, that's the life I'm going to live because you think I should live it. Rather than going through that self-discovery process. Well, when my father lost his business and, you know, I made a conscious decision to drop out of high school and start paying bills and whatever, it took me about 6 or 8 months. I've always been a very hard worker. It's safe to say, I was telling you off air that, you know, as I've been able to recently retire out of one thing and I was like going stir crazy for a whole month. Because like I'm so used to doing
time off.
I'm used to doing, I'm used to grinding, going after it. But we go through this process and, you know, I had a lot of off and on jobs. I've in leadership roles running. I went to work for a trash company for a while as a roll off leader at 18 years old. I had people that were 32, 40, 50 years old taking, you know, direction, instruction from me. But that's where I learned that my brain thinks strategically. My brain thinks if this, then that.
Mine does too. Oh my God. I didn't even know that was a thing. Literally, until you just said it. Mine does too. Absolutely. Well, I see it in a timeline.
Well, and now we can see why it's so important, right?
Wow. How cool.
You know, but we go through this process and, you know, Steve Myrick, I remember this one afternoon, he comes to me, he pulls me down with my dad's framing crew. He asked me a very important question. I always mention these couple of questions because these were so pivotal in my journey. The first one was, what is the difference between a rich man and a poor man? To which I answered money.
Question to an 18-year-old, right?
Yeah. Of course, I answered money.
Yeah.
And he was like, absolutely not. I'm like, huh? He's like, it's the way they think. The next question really got me. I think it was the catalyst or the seed that began my internal personal development journey. And the next question was, do you want to learn to think like me or do you want to continue thinking like your father?
Ooh. And by that age, you'd probably kind of seen some stuff your dad was doing and you're like,
my brain went into
Rolodex. What are those mistakes he's making and how do I not make them?
Yeah. I mean, my brain went into full-fledged Rolodex mode. And Steve was a very generous man. He's a very astute businessman. He was a very wealthy man. I had watched him literally leave $1,000 under a basket of hush puppies and like completely wreck of a single mother waitress, you know, and he, of course he's already disappeared. She can't even thank him. I've seen my dad borrow, never repay. I've seen, you know, and my dad's a great guy now. He went through his own personal development journey about 6 years after that. He turned into a phenomenal man. So I don't want to act like I'm hating on my father. But it was part of the story.
Right.
And then shortly thereafter, Steve put me into business for myself. He bought me all these tools and equipment and all this cool stuff to basically start a siding company for him, which is, you know, it's not super sexy, but it keeps
your job. That's your first entrepreneur opportunity at such a young age. Yeah.
And it, you know, and he was coaching me along the way and doing all this. And because of my work ethic, I was able to outwork my stupidity in many cases during that time. And 18, 19 years old, I go from making $12 an hour to making close to six figures on an annual basis. Wow. And this is in the late 90s, right? Yeah. Not going to give you too much of my age.
That's big time.
That was good money, right?
Right, yeah.
And of course, what do you do when you've never been trained to handle money and whatever? You get involved with the wrong people. You buy the wrong stuff. You waste the wrong money. You don't reinvest in yourself. You get yourself in a lot of trouble. And, you know, a lot of times when I do interviews and stuff, the number one question is always, well, how did you become homeless? You know?
Right.
And I'm like, well, I became homeless because of pride and arrogance and ignorance. The same three things that take entrepreneurs out all the freaking time.
Yeah. Pride, you know? Man. Ooh.
It just, I didn't want to admit that I needed help.
You don't even know that that is what it is, but it really does. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I wasn't involved in drugs. I didn't, I mean, I'm sure there was a part of me that wanted to self-medicate somehow. My self-medication at the time was just a severe depression. I didn't want to leave, you know, kind of the place I was at, which ultimately led me to losing the place I was at. And it's just it was a snowball's approach. And then, you know, I kind of bounced around couches and cars and all kinds of stuff. And had a few experiences outside under the stars. And I remember I was probably 3 or 4 months in, and I'd managed to maintain my World's Gym membership.
That's how I was getting, still working out and getting a shower.
Well, it was the shower that I was after. I would make it in there anytime I, you know, and I was looking for, you know, this is back when you still used the want ads, right, in the paper and whatnot. Yeah. And, you know, I just went through this. I went through this scenario a few months in. It was something out of a movie where, like, you're staring over a sink. There's a mirror in front of you, and you look up and you lock eyes with yourself.
Yeah.
And I've always said you can't have radical transformation unless you have radical transparency.
Right.
And most people don't want to get real with themselves because they fear what they'll find, but they don't understand. But what they find will actually build their fortitude, which will then build their future. So it's like this weird, we're scared of the very thing that actually helps us.
Right. Absolutely. Because you can't change what you don't know. And if you're not willing to metaphorically and literally look in the mirror and say, what am I doing that is causing this? Or what can I do to get out of this? Like, you're just going to, there's nothing to change. Like, you can't work with it, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I had spent all this time, like, trying to disprove that there was no element of faith, or there's no spiritual milk that kind of holds it all together. Right. So, during that time I found my faith. I became very dedicated to the faith that I ascribe to. And, as a result, I found a new level of anchoring of resilience.
There's
just something, regardless of what the faith is, there's something about having faith in something bigger than yourself that allows you to do things that are bigger than yourself.
Right. Absolutely. Cause you feel like in whatever way you have some sort of net.
Exactly.
Something is looking out for you. Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And you can trust, what's the old adage, that it's not happening to me, it's happening for me.
Right.
No matter what it is.
Yep.
You know, and I know you've experienced that yourself.
Oh,
it's what I refer to as a life truth.
Yeah.
There are certain things, it doesn't matter. You can take any person on the planet and put them in a life truth, and they're going to have the same benefit no matter who they are, where they've been from, where they come from, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
When I found my faith, a couple of weeks later, I was allowed back on the framing crew with my father after doing a bunch of odd and end jobs. Of course, I was embarrassed. I was full of guilt. I was full of shame. I hid from Steve Myrick on a regular basis as he would drive around the neighborhood, even though I was technically on his payroll.
Right.
And then my first week back, on a Friday afternoon, my father sends me next door to reframe a garage door because it was crooked. Okay. So for the listeners and viewers who don't know what I'm actually saying, I made a garage door that was crooked straight, period.
Okay. There we go.
So that's the easiest way to kind of do it. But while I was doing that, I was watching and listening to the guys that had taken over for me a year earlier, basically. And they were bad mouthing Steve, and it was really making me mad. I was really getting fired up. So much so that I kind of overheard them say, well, if he doesn't do this and this for us, you know, come Monday, we're not coming back or whatever. And I don't know. I was just really fired up. So I walked away, and I'm in my head, and I'm like, I can't believe this guy's so generous. He's awesome. What are they thinking? He's a moron. And then something in my little soul said, wasn't that what you did?
Yeah.
You know, and I was like,
you just weren't talking trash, but you were avoiding, which is the same thing. Like, yeah.
Exactly. You know, and then we go off and, you know, I'm walking back, and I don't know. I had this moment. My father's getting paychecks and we're walking back. It's a whole little like transition. This is like in a 30-minute window. And something inside of me felt like it was like a burning oven, like from my diaphragm all the way to the top of my head. And I knew that I needed to talk to Steve. So my father's walking this way. I'm walking the other direction. He's like looking. I'm like, where the hell are you going, dude? I'm like, you know, and I just kept walking and knock on Steve's window. He rolls his window down, looks at me with his big old pearly white dentures. He's like, what can I do you for? Because he's an old Southern guy.
Yeah.
He goes, how's your head now, boy? And I'm like, you know, I'm getting better. He said, well, all right, what can I do you for? I said, well, you know, I've heard these guys, they say they're not going to come back, you know, come Monday, da, 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 da. And kind of walked him through what I overheard them saying. And I said, if they don't do that, can I take back over? And he was like, boy, you burned me once. I'm not, you know, just it kind of lit into me a little bit. And he says, besides, I sold them everything that I bought you. They own everything that I bought you.
Oh, wow.
And I was like,
damn.
Okay. All right. Well, okay, fine. Yeah. I said, well, I just want the opportunity. If they don't show up, I'll figure out the rest. And he was stunned by that comment. Mm. I was stunned by that comment.
Right. Cause you're like, I really don't know what I'm going to do, but somehow I'll just show up and figure it out.
Exactly. You know? And so he kind of like stares back at me, looks at me kind of catty corner. I'm like, I tell you what, boy, if they're not back here on Monday morning, 9 a.m., I'll make a deal with you. I'll let you finish their house. We'll go from there. How about that? I'm like, done. Shook his hand. His window rolls up. I'm walking back this direction. My dad walks back this direction and he meets me in the middle. He's like, boy, what the hell have you done?
Yeah, right?
I just got you back on this crew. Right. I just got you going again. Are you crazy?
Don't burn this. Don't burn this.
Yeah, exactly. You're already burning it to the ground again.
Right.
You know, and I remember this moment and I feel like every person has the ability to have this moment. I call it the awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The awakening is when some set of events or circumstances or experience have transpired and you know that you know that you know that you know you must take a specific action.
Right.
If you take that action, that becomes the catalyst for many beautiful things, as well as a lot of growth and a lot of struggle, but right. It becomes a beautiful catalyst. I remember sticking up for myself for the first time and basically telling my dad that his future didn't have to be my future.
Right.
And then I felt like I knew that I had to do this. And my dad shut his mouth. He didn't say another word. He walked over to the beat up work van that we just put tools away in, opened the doors, began pulling tools out. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, well, do you remember over the holidays and weekends and the summers, what we made the scaffolding out of? I was like, well, yeah, wood. How about the ladders? Wood. Saw benches? Wood. Basically the answer was wood.
Yeah.
He said, all right, boy. Well, if you're serious about this, we got stuff to build. Why don't you go start pulling lumber out of the trash piles? And we spent the entire weekend building what I would need come Monday, not knowing
that
those guys were going to be there Monday.
Yeah, love it.
So spent my entire entire first paycheck on renting this machine called a brake machine. Anyway, come Monday morning, I'm there at 6 a.m. sitting on the curb. Steve rolls around. I'm like, can I go? He's like, it's not 9 o'clock. And that happens probably 15 times. So he rolls around at 9:02, rolls his window down, says, boy, what you waiting on?
Wow.
Now, the reason this story is part is as important as the homelessness itself is because in order to get from a poverty or a lack mindset, you have to shift first to an opportunity mindset. In other words, the thing in front of me is far greater than the things that were behind me.
Yeah. Right?
And you have to live there. You have to live there. I was going on 1,000% faith, 1,000% trust that this was for me. And I knew it was for me, right? Well, he rolls around, of course. I go to work with my old trash-built, site-built stuff.
Yeah.
I do several houses by myself. And that became a company that I just recently exited that I built over 25 years that on an annual basis had just under 9 figures and had 400-plus team members and so on and so forth.
Wow.
And I say all that to say that my story, just like your story, can be someone else's story if they'll do the work.
Absolutely. Oh my God. There's so much about that I love and connect with and relate to so strongly. I think you and I have really similar backgrounds. I mean, mm-hmm. I was homeless till I was 9. I have a lot of that hustle in me. Like you're talking about, like, yeah. I'm a hard worker. All the way till I was 30, I worked 2 or 3 jobs. And that was just normal. So people work one job. So I'm like, what is wrong with you? You have so much time off, you know? So yeah. I love that. But I also love that even at a young age, I mean, you were still pretty young when you're given this second kind of opportunity, you were able to see it as an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there was residual fear, you know, that you kept on coming in going like, you're going to blow this again. You're going to blow this again. How did you get past that? Because I think a lot of people who maybe have been in a similar situation or have, you know, through whatever, through divorce, through this, that, or the other thing, have lost stuff, are really afraid to build it again.
Yeah.
So they don't. So they just kind of think, well, I'm going to stay in safe zone. How did you get past that part of that fear?
I think one thing that everybody needs to understand is what needs to serve you in the moment may not be what you need to serve you for a decade or beyond. Mm-hmm. Okay. What I mean by that is one of the primary drivers before me was necessity.
Yeah.
I needed food. I needed shelter. I needed, you know, I had literal need. The second larger one to me was I refused to let Steve Meyer down ever again.
That's a big motivator, right?
It's so big. Yeah. Well, it's so big right now that it drives everything that I do now. For example, I was asked on a recent show, they said, well, what is the legacy impact you want to leave in this mark? And I started welling up because it's the first time it came up. I started welling up in tears and I was like, I want to be Steve Meyer to as many people as I humanly possibly can.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Cause you know what that did, you know, right. That changed your life. You know, he didn't have to do that.
No, that's the element of grace.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are so many people right now who are walking around showcasing their scars and their wounds and their hurts and their pains, but they're not showcasing their strengths and their talents and their gifts. I'm a big believer in most people, and the Time Magazine did a Harris poll a number of years ago, before COVID, discovered that 70% of the population would say that they're anxiety ridden, depressed, not living their best life, etc. And then when you go deeper into the study, you realize that people are not living the life they were supposed to live. They're living someone else's life. There are doctors that should be painters and painters that should be doctors and construction people that should be engineers. And they're like, well, who are you living your life for?
Right.
You know, and Steve Meyer, when he asked me that question about how do you want to think? Like, he was giving me a choice, right? So in this moment where I'm trying to rebuild my life, I had to do different, right? So normal 18-year-old is going to go out and party and have a good time and go hit the beaches on a regular basis. I was working.
It's going to last forever. And you're like, oh, I hate it. I'm never going back.
19, 20, 22, 23, like, it was funny. By the time I got to my early 30s, I was already able to do things that people who did follow the other track couldn't do.
Right.
They were already in jobs and employment scenarios where they hated, they didn't want to be there. They were just kind of going through the motions. They had done the things that were inauthentic and incongruent to them. Right. Where at least I was given the opportunity to be congruent with who I was supposed to become long-term.
Yeah.
You know? So I think the driving motivators, like the motivator to not let Steve down no longer exists, but the motivator to take Steve's legacy to another level is there in spades.
Yeah.
So there's a metamorphosis.
Yeah. And that's big too. I mean, that is a complete driver. I think for me, people will ask me a lot of times, like, how did you, you know, not fall apart or whatever when, you know, my husband.
It's not like you don't want to.
I was like, trust me. I was like, I wish I could just get on a plane and be on an island in the middle of nowhere and disappear, you know, but having something that you can tap into for that motivation. For me, it was my kids. And I've always had that burning desire to prove to them that anything was possible, prove to them that hard work pays off, prove to them that if you don't quit, you know, you get what you want. And also to make them proud. And I think having, you know, maybe not everybody out there has that person that already is sticking out in their mind for, you know, this is my fire, this is my motivation. But I think we can all tap into something that does, you know, and I love how you're aware of yours had such a huge impact, a knowledgeable impact in your life, but then also understanding like, hey, it's time to move that forward. How do I move that forward and leave that as a genuine legacy for me? And you talk a lot about discipline too. And I think it's so, so critical. And I will say that that is one of the things that I've always had to work really hard at. It is not a natural zone for me. Hustling is. So I'll get up and, you know, try to figure out what I need to do today, but to be disciplined and repeat tasks that maybe I don't want to do is a little bit, you know, I have to put things in place to help me out. So talk a little bit about the difference between discipline and motivation and how we tap into or get good at discipline or better at discipline so we can.
Yeah. No, I'm happy to. In fact, you know, this is actually, you've probably seen one of the clips that we recently released on social where I'm kind of going through a little bit of that. And, you know, I had gotten kind of frustrated because I see a lot of people like yourself, myself, and a whole host of friends that we have that are trying to make a legitimate impact.
Right.
Right. Now we're making incomes along the way. That's part of the process. The more people you serve, the better you do. But I was having a hard time with all the, I don't know, grind and hustle, muscle every day.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of going through this world. You've got people that are showcasing cars that they don't even own.
Right. There's just the
dealers. Airplanes that are trying to walk away. It's so fraudulent.
Yes, 100%.
And I have never been able to see someone fraud their way to success on any measure.
Yeah.
Right. You can you make it fake it till you make it for a minute.
Yeah.
But you can't do it for a lifetime.
It will find you.
You know? And it lit a fire in me because I got to thinking, my social media guy that's on my team, he came to me and said, well, what is the difference? And then he just put the camera on. To me, motivation is the igniter that gets you started. Discipline is what actually drives the results.
Right.
You know, so for example, having a daily routine, some would call it a ritual. I don't care what words you use. I get up about the same time every day. I go through the same meditative process first thing in the morning that kind of merges prayer with a set of meditation. Yeah. I go through the same affirmational thing, kind of my own little mantra. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am wise. I'm a steward of the Most High. Right. Ooh. And I say that at least three times. I give thanks for the day. Cause I do, I'm able to live a very beautiful life right now. And there's a lot to be grateful for, but I was also working to be grateful when I didn't have a lot of reasons to be grateful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, so bringing that forward, I go, you know, I work on a specific area of my life every single day of the week separately. So financials on Mondays, emotionals on Tuesday, so on and so forth.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah.
I want to be well-rounded.
Yeah. I love that because I think there's probably the word I hear the most these days is overwhelm. I'm overwhelmed. And I think having some structure like that and saying, hey, my finances, my budget, like anything I have to do dealing with that, I will get to it. I know exactly when I'm going to get to it. This is the hour on Monday or whatever that I'm dedicated to it. So I can actually let it go in my mental space for the rest of the week. And I love that.
Well, you know, and I'm all, my word is unstoppable, right? When you say the word unstoppable, people think you're busting down walls, you're running, stopping, I don't know, locomotives, like you're just completely impenetrable. That's the complete wrong approach to becoming unstoppable. Unstoppable is nothing more than making consistent progress every single day. If you will give yourself props for making progress, you will get more discipline, you'll become more focused, and therefore your results will come far quicker. You know, I kind of look at it that way. So it kind of ties back into discipline in that discipline, when done routinely, consistently over time, gives you momentum. There's someone that did, I think it was Ramsey that did a focus, what he called the momentum theorem. Okay. Focused intensity, i.e. diligence over time. So if you do like a divide symbol over time, multiplied by faith equals unstoppable momentum. Okay.
I love that.
So that one concept is the way in which every single person who wants to elevate any area of their life needs to focus. Because if you ignore it, it's not going to get better. Yep. And if you focus on the negative aspects of it, that's all you're going to kind of like bring into your life, right? So why not decide where you want to go? What I refer to as set up five or six dominoes. So this domino must fall first. Then this domino falls. Then this domino falls. Then this domino falls. Because in my brain,
our strategic thinking right there, right?
It's like
mapping it out. Yeah.
And what domino would I start with?
Yeah.
The one that's going to give you the most lift.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people will look at the end, the totally unreachable end, right? Uh-huh. And they'll look at today and they'll say, oh my God, there's a gigantic canyon between that. Like, how do there's no way I could possibly get over there. But if you look at it like that, I call them benchmarks, dominoes is such a great way to think about it. Is all I have to do is do the next thing.
Yeah.
And then it propels to the next thing and the next. So there's so many ways that you can hack the system.
Yeah.
If you're just out there looking for motivation, back to kind of what you were saying a minute ago, it's going to last 2 seconds. You're going to listen to something and be like, yeah, I'm fired up. And you might not even make it out the door to the gym or whatever it was you were planning to do. It is at best inspiration, but it has to ignite something in the person who is ready to be ignited.
Yeah.
And then is willing to do the thing and I'm so like on my soapbox about the whole like imposter syndrome thing, because I'm like, it exists because you're not doing the thing.
Yeah.
Of course it exists because you're not doing the thing.
Yeah.
The minute you start doing the thing, I mean, do you feel great about it? Do you feel like you're the best in the world at it? Probably not at all.
Will breed confidence.
Exactly. But consistency, you get better and better,
yeah.
just like anything else you've ever done. And so if you get out there and do it, you learn quickly, you pivot quickly, you get better and better and better. And then over time you are the expert because you've been doing it for such a long time.
Yeah.
But it's never like, oh, I'm going to learn all this stuff, flip my switch on and feel confident. Like,
that's right.
World is going on right now. Like, why?
I mean, the reality is learning and no doing will take you nowhere. To your point, there was an interesting study done on events, because you know I love events. I put events on. They're just they were special to me. I was dumbfounded by the amount of people that go to events on an annual basis,
right?
And the return on investment, if you will, of time. Okay,
right.
So I'll give you an example. There's approximately 150 million people that will go to an event during the course of the 2024 calendar year. Okay. Wow. Real estate could be Robbins, could be Milet, could be any number of one of our friends in their events. Okay. Of 150 million people, 3% of them will actually use the information to gain traction.
I fully believe that. Fully believe that. Right. Everyone's going there for the rah-rah, for the feel good in the moment. But like, if you took all that knowledge that you're actually getting from all those experts, from all those speakers, from all that stuff, and went back home and were like, how do I apply that for me? How do I twist, you know, like tweak that a little bit for me? Oh my God, where would you be? But I think everyone's kind of waiting for someone to do that for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And to your point, you were talking a lot about like, never give up. And I love that. That has been kind of my hustle, believe, receive is the motto that, you know, is my first book too, but, and relentless pursuit, just that idea that no matter what, if I've committed myself to never quitting until I'm living the thing I want, then you can throw anything at me. I'm not going to like it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be happy. I might go kicking and screaming through the bad, you know, adversity, but you're not going to stop me. Nothing's going to stop me.
Well, and the reality is your macro vision of your future only gets done with your micro attention to detail. Right.
Yeah.
So consider this. I've been very fortunate in exiting my first large business. Okay. At the time I owned 7, I now own 3 because I sold or transferred 4 of them.
Wow.
I get a lot of credit for the success of the company that it got to from the place it got to.
Right.
I would tell you, you cannot build a company without a lot of amazing people.
Yeah.
However, I'm also the person that was driving nails, cutting material, hauling stuff, putting it on my shoulder, driving a beat up truck and a trailer, like had to teach myself how to read an income statement and a balance sheet and a working cash flow statement. And like all of this stuff,
every aspect of your
every
business
aspect.
You had to do at some point or another, every aspect.
So, but what we see on social media a lot of times is people getting out of a sports car or walking around their really nice house that they live in now. Like I intentionally don't put a lot of nice stuff in my social at all, because honestly, it's for my enjoyment, not yours. One. And two, I would rather you focus on what you need to do to have the thing that I have. My middle son came to me a long time ago. This is right after he graduated from high school. And he's like, I just want to do this, this, and this, and this, and this. And a lot of it's what I do, right? I said, okay, well, you got to do what I did.
Yep.
You don't get to fast forward. You don't get to skip adversity. Adversity is what teaches you what you need to know to do the next thing.
Yeah.
Like you can't go from one to the other. It's like our diligence, for example, okay? Diligence has a villain, if you will, okay?
Yep.
His or her name is distraction. Okay. So the opposite of diligence is distraction. However, studies still show that the average adult, okay, millennials and up, spend on average 4+ hours a day on media. Okay. So 4 times 5 is 20 hours. If I do the other 2 days, now I got 28 hours that I wasted.
Totally wasted.
Totally wasted.
Flew.
And the younger you go, the demographic gets longer and longer.
Yeah. And then you're complaining, I don't have enough time. I'm so stressed.
when I was going through this with my son, I was like, dude, you've been playing video games for 3 freaking hours. Read a book.
Yep.
Like, there's so much historical mentorship out there.
Absolutely. Right?
They're so, like, sitting down quietly with a pen and a pad, like, what do I even freaking want?
Why do I want it? Yes, I love that you said that. And I love you said pen and pad, because I'm completely non-negotiable with my clients. You have to have, and I have 2 journals I'm looking at right now. You have to do it old school. I mean, you have to get out that pen and pad. You have to, it ignites totally different parts of your brain that don't even get used at all anymore.
Yep.
And it allows you to be quiet with yourself and answer the $1 million question. You just said it. What do I want? One of the hardest questions that most people overlook.
In some cases, it might be the $100 million question.
Oh, for sure. And I think everyone's like, oh yeah, I'll get to that. Of course I know what I want, whatever. I'm like, I challenge you, sit down and try and list out what you want, best case scenario, in every area of your life. And you're going to find out how tough that is and how many blocks you have.
Well, and then you're also going to, you also need to ask yourself, why do you want it?
Absolutely.
Some of us want advancement of success for the wrong reasons. Yep. We want to impress people around us that don't know us. You don't know them. They don't know you, but you want to impress them to make you feel more special. When you, if you do the work, you'll feel special from the inside out.
Absolutely.
Like, I was going through this recently with somebody, and they're like, well, why don't you share more of this on social and share this on? I said, cause I don't feel the need. Like, I've like, you can't take away my history. I've already done it.
Exactly.
Like, I've already done it once. I'm about to do it again. Like, I just like, I'm good. Right. I don't need to, I don't need to impress you with stuff. Like, if you don't listen to me based on my history, I mean, I've done X, Y, and Z.
Right.
I was able to go from here to here. If you don't know what you don't want to know what I learned.
And I want that real world experience. That's what I want to know. I want to know that you can go through those things that you've been through, the most difficult things. Losing everything when you built everything up is harder than starting from zero with nothing, right? So much harder. Like I said, there's your ego's involved. There's so many other things that now you have to overcome. I've been through that probably 10 times in massive, massive ways in my life. And I think, to your point earlier about how everything builds on itself, and if you start to look at it from that perspective, you realize there is no failure.
Yeah.
There, that whatever it is that you are going through, that is your preparation time.
Yeah.
You know, that is your school. That is your learning. It's the thing that you will then be able to maximize your growth when the opportunity presents itself by moving through it, by learning from it. I
want to bring in a construction analogy. What is an analogy or symbolism? Anyway, I'm bringing a construction thing. You know, we were just talking about the importance of having a pen and a pad and going in. You honestly build everything and design your life from the inside out, not from the outside in.
Absolutely.
You must do that. Okay. Yep. Consider this. What determines the size of the structure that gets built is actually the depth of the foundation. Okay. So I'll give you an example. I went to go see the rebuilt World Trade Center. Okay. A number of years ago, visiting New York and whatever. And of course you take escalator upon escalator down to the basically where the foundation for the skyscraper is, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 stories tall itself.
Yep. Okay.
The depth has to be strong enough to support the weight of the structure. Okay. So if your dream is massive, then your foundation must be deep.
Absolutely.
The only way to build the deep foundation is through understanding that you use adversity to work through you. The sacrifice that you're going to lay is going to lay the path for the future. Like, it's, you have to understand that if you have a big dream, you've got to do a lot of digging.
So, it's so true that we just went through a huge ice storm and snowstorm about 2-3 weeks ago, and it took out I've never seen anything like it. It was like a hurricane went through, just took out all these huge, huge evergreen trees that have been standing for 100+ years, and every single one of them toppled over and there was like no root system. You're like, where are the roots? You can't even see that they were just trying to grow flat or whatever. Mm-hmm. And every single time I drive by one of these massive trees sideways, because, you know, like there's no roots, I always think that. I'm like, if you're not healthy under there, if your roots weren't strong, if they weren't going deep, if you had no place to grow, if there was no soil, if you weren't doing your stuff, like you can't hold the dream up. You can't hold anything else up. And I think that personal work of you learning about yourself, about being self-aware and constantly working on your growth and checking your ego and mm-hmm. surrounding yourself with the right people are all those things that help you build that root system. Are there any others that you lean on to help keep you strong no matter kind of what you're going through?
So I pull a lot on experiences and I pull on past successes to help me push through current sacrifices. And then I pull on past sacrifices to help me get wisdom and understanding in different things. So I'll give you an example. This one mistake cost me $10 million. Okay. I'm serious. And that was this one mistake. It's one of the biggest mistakes I ever made in building a business. It was trying to build a business without building myself. The reason is because you will operate from fear, guilt, shame, insecurity, all that kind, all of these, there's no such thing as segmenting yourself in the workplace and the home place. It does not exist. Yeah. If your character is shitty in the home, it's going to be shitty at work.
Right. Yep.
Right. You have to decide what type of character and principles and fundamentals you're going to live by. Okay. I was having some conversations today about financial things with somebody that I care about. And we were walking through this or walking through that. And I was like, and they were like, well, you already have X, Y, and Z. I'm like, yeah, but I'm asking you to follow the same framework that led me to X, Y, and Z. Right. If you'll do C, D, E, F, G, you will have X, Y, and Z.
Yep.
Over time.
Yeah.
Over time.
Patience and resilience. Yeah.
Principles and fundamentals. I believe that living by principle, sometimes I'll even share this from stage, that principles govern promises. Okay. Whatever promise you think you want to live in your life, I want to have a beautiful relationship. I want to build a massive business. I want to be completely healed and healthy and whole. Like, principles govern the fundamentals that you use to take action that then govern the results that become the promise.
Ooh.
Right. So a principle for me, for example, when I put myself back out there after a divorce was I'm only going to be involved with people, even get to know people that are already doing their own work.
Amen.
And they, Amen. And they see the
you
value
be on your journey. Yeah.
And they see the value of doing their own yes. work. In other words, regardless if I come into their life or not, they're going to continue doing their work.
Amen.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what that brought in was if I'm going to do the same thing and they're going to do the same thing, now we have congruency and alignment.
Right.
Okay. What yeah. most of
then
us
you can be stronger together, right? Because then you're both moving forward and learning and all that. Yeah.
Exactly. And on the flip side, your knee-jerk reaction after an end of a relationship is, I'll show you I'm valuable. I'm going to go find me somebody else.
Yeah.
And then you wound somebody else and that wounds somebody else and that wounds somebody else. So, but what you really want is to be deeply connected to a partner.
Yeah.
Right. And that is a human behavior. That's a human thing.
Right.
Okay. I say all that to say that no matter what dream you have in your heart that you're trying to make manifest, it's going to require a principle to get there. So your job is, if my dream is this, I need to go to someone that has the knowledge to teach me the principle of this, that Ooh. Then leads me back to my dream. Okay. And when you do that, your dreams become more probable and more, honestly, it speeds up the process.
Yeah, absolutely. Cause you're learning from someone else. You're getting the cheat code almost, right?
That's what you're doing. Yeah. Yeah. So I believe that service, the reason we go through difficult things is so we can learn the things to help somebody else that's going through the same difficult thing at an earlier stage.
Yep.
I believe that's why human beings have that.
Yeah. I totally feel like that's how you as the person who's passing on that knowledge heals and learns and fills your cup for one thing. Yeah. I mean, it totally fills your soul in a way that very few other things do.
Yeah.
And whether you think you're qualified or an expert or whatever the case is or not, I definitely wasn't when I started.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was talking about. I was just like, hey, this is what I'm doing. It's working for me. I'm happy to answer your questions. I'm happy to help if it'll help, you know? And so yeah. I think a lot of times we just put so much pressure on ourselves to be perfect, to be ready, to be this, that, or the other thing. And so instead we just sit there and watch everyone else do it.
Yeah. Well, that's why I say, don't strive to be perfect. Strive to be authentic.
Yes.
Because your authentic self is a buildable self. You can't build what you won't acknowledge. And if you can't acknowledge your strengths, your struggles, and your blind spots, then you won't be able to basically put the things in place to help you work your way out of those things. I do believe in a God, a creator. I've mentioned that before. And I believe part of our, if not one of our core factors on this earth, is to refine our soul to such an extent where we can say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
Okay? Like you're legitimately becoming more than you were when you got here.
Absolutely. Okay.
No matter your struggles, no matter what you've been through. I don't believe traumas are permanent. I believe traumas are transitions.
Yep.
It's a transition from going from an old way of being, a new way of an old way of thinking, a different relationship circle, to saying, okay, who am I really? Who am I really? Right. I'm 5 foot nothing. And I used to identify myself because I was short. Mm. I used to make decisions because I was short.
Wow. But, wow.
You know? And then you're like, wait a minute, I'm bigger than being short.
Absolutely. I have a whole other offer. Why am I taking myself out of the equation when I don't need to be doing that? Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for dropping so much wisdom and knowledge. And I could literally have this conversation with you all
Luckily,
day.
Luckily, we get to do this again when you come on my show.
Yes, you do get to do it again on your show. I cannot wait. And hopefully someday soon in person. I think that would just be phenomenal.
You're always welcome here to this Utah area now.
I know.
I've officially moved.
You've just moved. You have a big, amazing facility that you're creating for events. I'm going to have to come out to like your inaugural event that you have there. That's going to be amazing. So there's so much. You know, I was checking out your website. I'm going to link this, all that here in the show notes. But there's so much that you give. And I mean, one of your specialties is teaching entrepreneurs how to grow their business in a massive way, how mm-hmm. to create, you know, 8-figure incomes. And you have lots of that knowledge. Like I said, I'm going to put it in the links here. Learn from the best, man. That's how you get the cheat code. That's how you speed up your timeline. That is the way
cheat code is fundamentals, by the way.
Totally. Right. Like, and rinse and repeat, doing something over and over again, getting better at it, but consistency.
That's right. And diligence.
Yeah. I love this so much. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for pouring into us and sharing all of your wisdom today. Stephen, I can't wait to be on yours as well. Thank you so much.
Let's get it. Out of place. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. And everyone, until next time, get out there and hustle and thrive.
Thanks for listening. And remember, if you got value from today's show, please spread the love by clicking subscribe, leaving a stellar review, and telling everyone you know. And join us next time on the Sarah Centrella Show.